Welcome to the Freud's Angels podcast, where two highly intuitive women dig into everyday problems using our connection to the divine, psychology, and energy work.
We support you in your self-awareness, growth, and aid you in your shadow work. Now we're your hosts.
I'm Vanessa.
And I'm Grace. Let's get into the show.
Hey, angels. Welcome to episode 154 of the Freud's Angels podcast. It's going to be, we're going to have a conversation today.
Yeah, that sigh told a story in and of itself.
Yeah. So, Vanessa, first, let's tell them what we're going to talk about before I get into like how I'm feeling about it.
It's funny because in our pregame, we were talking about like our feelings and, you know, like how we, you know, our spiciness or not spiciness or the back and forth in between. And so it's funny to have chosen this topic to be like, well, let's test our spicy. Let's see. We say that we're interested in practicing our good spicy. Let's see if we can do it. So we today are going to talk about something that I love to talk about with people, reprogramming the holidays, because what do I tell people all the time? All the shit was made up. All of everything was made up. You can make up something else if you do not like what you were told to do or think or believe. You are absolutely allowed to get different information and reject what you have been programmed to believe. So we are going to talk about that today. So hang on to your hats, because, you know, it's, I feel like for two New Englanders to talk about Thanksgiving, it's interesting. I remember when I had, when I had a kid in school in Florida, I was like, you know, and she would come and tell me about the things she was learning about in history. I would be like, that is very, very interesting. They didn't tell you anything about this, that, and the other thing. And she was like, no. I'm like, yeah, probably because it's shitty what we were taught and wrong. So, it's very, I feel like we've had to do a lot of work on this topic, specifically around a couple of holidays. So that all being said, are you ready to be let loose, Grace?
So how do I do this without completely making this into me standing on my soapbox? I don't know how, but
we're on a soapbox anyway. I feel like there's bigger soapboxes for different holidays, however. Yeah. So this is just a big soapbox that we get on. This one and Columbus Day are my two that I'm like,
yeah,
we're just going to not do it. We're just nothing we were taught we're going to do.
Yeah. first of all, let me give you my definition of Thanksgiving. Okay. So Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. Mm-hmm. And I don't even want to call it a holiday because it's not a holiday. It's a holiday in the US terms, but for me, it's more of a moment of gathering with people I truly care about on purpose, like choice. Like this is choice. And maybe making a dish, bringing it, us having, sharing our life, sharing our moments, and really resetting my heart into gratitude. Because this year, I feel we say this every year, but this year felt really hard and challenging, and it felt overwhelming, and especially in the last couple of weeks, as I'm learning how to be a non-people pleaser and make decisions on people's requests based on information versus on just my need to be people pleasing. It's hard. I put myself in a lot of spaces where I've had to be different a different person than the person I would like to be versus the person I was created to be. And so when I have these moments and these days of the year, like what's traditionally called Thanksgiving, it's like that day that I get to reflect on the year. It's like that harvest. It's like the harvest, you know, you work so hard all year to do and grow food for your family throughout the whole year in whatever way that is. My harvest is my inner harvest. What have I worked on? What have I released? What have I healed? What am I looking to heal? Like it's sitting in that space of just having a day that I can have that reflection of like, holy crap, look at what we've done this year. Look at the amazing things, and not at, I didn't do this and I didn't do that. And I don't care. Like, I don't care that I didn't do things. I have to look at what I have done because, and I'm purposeful with it because it's not meant to be that way. However, and it was also my dad's favorite holiday. So that it was like the day we spent together and cooked and really enjoyed each other. And no one else was around because no one else was there in the beginning. And we get to peel potatoes and cook together. You know, it was just like this quiet moment of my dad just not being a taskmaster for me. It was just one of his most gentle times. And I don't want to, why do I have to get emotional? Because that's who I am. That's why. So it became our favorite day. Even if I didn't do Christmas with them, I always made sure I did Thanksgiving because it was our favorite day. When we're children, let me try to get out of the emotion of this, but when we're children, we're taught what Thanksgiving is in school. And this is nothing against the teachers. It's the curriculum they've been given to teach us. It's not that teachers are bad, or this has nothing to do with them. This has everything to do with our way, and I'm going to get political for a moment, the white man's way of whitewashing a lot of what happened. And I think especially in the past year and a half, I've become very clear at where I stand with what this holiday really is and what it was for a lot of Indigenous people. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that we need to teach our children about death and about what happened, but we don't need to create this idea of celebration of, you know, of what they did. Like it's a different energy. You know what I mean? Like do we need to teach them anything? Like,
yeah, well, because I mean, we're having the holiday, right? Like, and so, you know, we have to teach them something, but I feel like what we're not good at and what we're trying to get good at here in the country is that when we learn better, we can do better. And so that we can shift anything that we want once we actually, you know, learn something, you know? And so if this is something, this is something that could easily be shifted if everybody agrees to just be like, listen, like the story that's been told it wasn't true. And so let's just change, let's accept that we change the story and keep the day because we're all used to it. We really like it. We're gathering together. We can create, we can shift the energy around why we're doing it without, you know, and tell the true story. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's the thing about it is that there's a lot of people that are like, you can't throw it out. And it's like, we don't have to throw it out. Like, yeah. Because so many of us really do attach to it positively because we're not, because we've gone far beyond that. We aren't even doing these things to be like, oh, remember, you know, like nobody sits around the table at my place to be like, remember when the pilgrims and the Indians broke bread together? And this is why we celebrate Thanksgiving. Like we don't like, I don't even know that we've ever done that. You know what I mean? Like other than learning it in school, that's what we're doing. You know, we have the opportunity because everything is made up to shift it and to shift it collectively to say, that's why we did it before, but that's not why we do it now, because now we have better knowledge or, you know, we're acknowledging the things instead of hiding the things or instead of, you know, taking the ugliness out of it. We're going to allow the ugliness to have existed, but we don't need to make it about the ugliness either. You know, just like we made the story about the fake beauty, we don't have to make the story about the ugliness. we can just say, hey, listen, this is how it started, but this is not what we do with it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and this is just an aside, and this is maybe more of my soapbox than the podcast itself, but I have been, I'm a documentary junkie, especially about history. And something I've come to realize is that history is told through the perspective of one person's version.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
There is, like, we have these ideas and these understandings, but there's no real perspective of maybe what others experienced or how they experienced it. And it's like we take as this one perspective, and we've been taught that that is the only perspective, that that is the truth of what happened.
We found a document, and it was a documentation of what happened. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about the Crusades, right? The Crusades are told from the perspective of the evidence found and the perspective of the people doing the Crusades. We never got the perspective of the people that were suffering from the Crusades because they weren't of royalty or of high standing. So their document, like most of them couldn't read or write. Most of them, they were just poor farmers and they suffered. Like, I think I challenge, if you get anything from me out of this podcast, is challenge the narrative that was given to you through history books and through the things. It's not to say that we throw it out, like you said. We have the understanding, but be curious about the other side of the understanding. Mm-hmm. Like, what do the people feel being on the other end of this? What did the other side feel? What did the people that were caught in the mix feel? Anyways.
Okay. No, that's a beautiful part of it, because it's super true. And it's true today. We talk about this all the time on this podcast, that everybody has a different perspective because it goes through their own filter and their own experience. That's why you have children who grow up in the same house and they're like, well, I have a vastly different experience than you do. Well, interesting, because we were in the same house, right? Like, that happens all the time. That is the truth of the matter. So that happens in history. It's not like that's a new thing and that people only told the truth back then and now people tell different truths now. No, it's always been that way. You're always going to get somebody's story as they experienced it. Even if they're being super honest about everything that they see, they didn't see everything from that perspective, right? And so somebody else had another vision point. And like you said, for most people, for a very, very long time, that were on the other end of stuff, never had a voice in the history books because they couldn't read, write, or didn't know the language. You know, like all of the recountings that could have happened didn't happen. So we are really well served with any piece of history to say, is there other information about this? Are there other perspectives? What other things were going on? Just because it's good for us to know. We don't have to... I mean, I feel like a lot of people get like, well, what does it matter? And it's like, it might not matter, right? Like, it probably isn't going to do anything to my daily life, right? Like, to learn some of the history stuff. But it does help me be a little bit more even keeled when I hear other people's perspectives, right? Because I'm in that understanding, I'm in that knowledge, that curiosity of like, I want to hear all the stories. Everybody's stories about everything, because no, everybody's right. So I want to hear all of them, you know? It was very, I think that was very important, because it's relevant for all of these holidays.
And I think too, it's also about practicing the idea of having curiosity of all parts of all sides of a situation, even in current times. Like, okay, this side feels this way and I see it, I get it, and I probably feel a little bit like that side, but why does the other side feel that way? What are they experiencing and where does it come from? You're able to see the truth, the more of the nuances and the truth of maybe more of the truth of what's happening versus just getting one side of it. It's like taking that giant step back and looking at, it's like a game, like looking at the playing field. You know, this team is practicing this play all the time. And what does this team do in response to that play? And how does it work? And which one is more successful? And which one is, you know, and why? Why are they doing that? Are they playing to strengths? Are they doing that because there's a hidden agenda somewhere? It gives a different perspective and gives you a way to be I think in some ways more have a realistic view of what's happening. I think that's what I'm learning. I'm broadening the scope of what I'm seeing to have understanding. Granted, that is the Gemini, like, I don't, you know, people have accused me of riding the fence because I see all sides of situations. I don't agree with them, but I see them.
Yeah.
And I have understanding of it. And so then I'm like, ah, that's why that happened. And then I get to make my own decision based on my own morals and values, depending on what I feel is more, you know, whatever. But I think that that serves us in all parts of our lives, even relationships. Like,
it makes life easier. I mean, it makes life harder because people don't understand, but it makes my life easier. You know, back when we were doing our reading about inner peace, I have so much inner peace because of my quote unquote fence riding, because yeah. I'm like, I don't need to be super anything. I don't need to be super anything because I don't know anything, right? You know what I mean? We don't know anything. You watch enough documentaries, you start to be like, dude, there's like, it's impossible to have all the information. We don't know anything. That's good, right? That makes me feel super peaceful that I don't have to stand on a freaking cliff for the rest of my life on that one thing. I don't need to die on that hill because the hills are always going to change. Like, I love that. I feel like that brings me so much inner peace because it allows me to live in a life of curiosity, and curiosity is never a problem for me. It is always fun. Curiosity to be fun. Maybe some people don't. As I was saying that, I was like, I don't know, maybe some people don't like it.
Yeah. It's hard. It can be hard because you're having to, you know, there's a certain awareness about people and yourself when it comes to being curious with this, with the intent of understanding.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess a lot of people have identity crises and stuff when they're like, well, like, I knew all these things and now I don't know anything. It's like, yeah, it's good. But some people are like, it means nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I get into those rabbit holes, but I just wanted to place this information here to give you the idea of creating that curiosity. So, you know, one of the things that, let's talk about the idea of traditions, the idea of, you know, let's get into the reality of, and not just the philosophical conceptual type of stuff. Let's get into the reality of Thanksgiving or even just the holidays, Christmas, like, Where do you feel obligated to do things? Like, because it's been tradition, our family has always done this, or there's a space of, I think, like, what's expected based on family traditions, based on what other people feel. Maybe your spouse has family traditions. There's this pull to do that and to keep it the same. But I think sometimes there's part of us that wants it to be different and to recreate it in a way that's more connected with us. And so how do we, you know, how do you kind of navigate down that path of bucking the system? And
put your freaking armor on, that's for one.
Yeah. Like, just be very firm and rooted in why, and in why you want to. Is it because you're overwhelmed? Is it because you're burnt out, but you're not having receptivity, especially from families, of saying, you know, oh my gosh, but you have to do this because it's tradition. But like, be like, dude, I have 1 to 3 children, and like, I am constantly managing them and a family and a house and a job. And, you know, it's like, I don't know that that's what you want to do. It's a process.
Yeah, well, and we are way more complicated as a society than ever, right? Like, so again, like, I don't know. I swear I'm going to have to do a past life regression sometime soon, because it's starting to get to me that I'm like, I'm always talking about times I didn't live in this lifetime, as if I'm telling this, like, I'm telling a history story of a life that I've lived, you know, but just, you know, really thinking about, like, the times where you couldn't just travel places. So you moved your family and you stayed there. And then the people around you were who you saw or didn't see. And you made your decisions based on that. And like, the obligation part of family, like, God, like, it just wasn't the same as it is now. Like, we have really, like, accelerated that to the point where that's where this guilt and stuff comes from, you know, like, it used to be very different, but now we have access, you know, technology has given us access. you know, the technology of travel has given us access, which gives people expectations. And then we pass that along, like you say, as tradition and as societal constructs. And so then we're bucking a system that was made up anyway, right? Like we're bucking a system that we didn't give permission to have to follow in the first place. You know, like nobody asked me if I wanted to do this. You just told me because I was born here that this is how I got to do stuff. What the hell is that? Right? Like, what? Like, where is my free will? This is how, you know, what we do is we try to exercise our free will. But what you said in there that about like figuring out why, right? Is that not our like Freud's Angels 101 about everything? Is like, well, why do you feel that way? Like, you got to get to the root of why you feel that way in order to know what your solution actually is. Yep. Right. Because a lot of times people will just go, I'm just not going to go. And it's like, you can make that decision, but all of these emotions and things that are causing that don't go away just because you don't put yourself in the place. And right. And when you do the healing, you still don't have to put yourself in the place, but you don't have to have that angst every year about not going to the place that's going to make you feel guilty and yada, yada, yada. Right. Like we get to that root of like, well, what is it that bothers me about it? What is it that makes me feel an aversion to doing that? Because I want to be able to address that. Because when we address that and we make our decisions, we feel very strong in our decisions because we know that we have done it with contemplation and awareness versus knee-jerk reactions or trauma responses and things like that. So yeah, like I think, you know, the number one being, well, why are you doing it? But it's very hard. You know, it's very hard to do this because of all these expectations. And that's why I made the joke about the armor, but it's not a joke. You know, like you got to prepare yourself and have safe people to help you go through this process because
the rioting.
Yeah. Right. Like depending on your, whoever's system it is that you're bucking, you may not get something that you're excited about. And so you need to have somebody to process that with you. Because, you're already nervous, then you get kickback. Yeah, you know, it's going to make you feel worse, right? So we want to be able to, you know, have those people there too. I feel like I'm a system bucker by nature, you know, but for a long time, I did put myself through certain things that I just didn't like. Like, I mean, this is like the simplest of examples. I moved out of New England for a reason. I do not want to be there in the dead of winter for Christmas. There's nothing worse to me than freezing my ass off for a week, right? It's nothing personal. It's not, but it's a choice of me saying that's not what I want to do. And Christmas is a holiday that I don't want to spend there. Does that mean I don't love my family? Does that mean that I have to cease to celebrate Christmas because I'm not going to do it in the way that I used to do it? No, it's just kind of like, all right, like I need to communicate, like, this is why I don't want to do it. This is part of why I don't want to do it. And no, I don't have to suck it up. I don't want to. And now everybody's fine with it. Yeah. Nobody cares. But it took, you know, it was at first it was a little hurtful. And I had to, you know, have my armor on and work through the guilt and all of that kind of stuff. So by no means are we coming here to be like, let's do the, you know, we never do the five easy steps, but we're not coming here to be like, so just buck the system, you'll be fine.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, I was sharing earlier about a meltdown. Like I wanted to do Christmas. And then I kind of felt backed into a corner and I was like, fuck this. I'm not doing Christmas. Fuck them. I'm not doing, but I'm like, where did that come from? Like, I was like, okay. I didn't like, no one's forcing you to do it. It's like, why are you feeling this way? And it was like, I had to step back and realize that there's a part of me that did not want to feel the pressure I put on myself when I do meals for a group. And like, and so I was like, I'm not doing it. Forget it. Like it had nothing to do with what others do. It's my own pressure that I put on myself. So I was like, oh, okay. All right. So then the question would be is like, what do I feel I can handle without feeling like I need to do all the work, like put on so much pressure? How can I do this in a way that's easily accessible for myself that doesn't get me overwhelmed and also doesn't cost me a fortune? Like what is it? How? And you know, in that I was like, okay. And I thought about it and I'm like, we don't have to do dinner. We can do brunch. Like, why not do brunch? Because that's a fun thing, right? Yeah. Like, I love, like, easy. Nobody has to cook anything. It's very simple. And if I do have to cook something, it's super accessible. Like, you know, throwing something in the oven or so, it's like, you can make it as easy, as simple as we want to. And that's what I had to realize, is that it was me putting the pressure. It had nothing to do with them or the fact of doing it. You know, my intent with it was to recreate memories for Christmas so that I can enjoy Christmas again. Because I don't like Christmas. And that's just my relationship with it. So anyways, I digress.
No, it's perfect. No, because I think people do that too, right? Like, if you're the hoster and you're like, I'm so fucking over this. But you're like, I'm the hoster. You know? Like, you're going to go through a friggin' dilemma, you know, and you're going to be like, this is how it's supposed to be. And this is how it's always been. And this is whatever. And it's like, how do I stop it from being that way? Right. Like, and you have to go through all of what you just to be able to be like, I'm allowed to change it. I am. And that people being quote unquote let down isn't my thing to deal with. They can deal with that, you know, and they're allowed to be disappointed, yeah, in my decision. It doesn't mean anything about me. It's a reality. People are going to be disappointed if I'm the hoster and they're not, and their tradition is now not going to be the same. They're allowed to be disappointed,
but and they're allowed to make a decision based on what they need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, like, that's a perfect example for you to be able to say, well, I mean, I going to the root, like, I want to gather. Yeah. I do want to gather. That's in my heart. That's on my heart, my soul. I want to gather. However, I don't want to put myself in overload and overboard, which is, you know, our tendencies as people pleasers and really good hosts. We're like new decor, like the whole thing.
Yeah. Making your house spotless because they have to be able to eat off the floor. Right. Like,
yeah, like I have to go to Home Goods and spruce up. Like, no, you don't need to do all that kind of stuff, right? Like, we can't trust ourselves, y'all. Like, we're still in the process of learning how to trust ourselves. So we get like this, but you have to know yourself too. Yeah. It's a perfect example of being able to say, I'm going to change things and I want to do things differently. And you don't have to, I mean, we don't have to do the same thing twice if we don't want to. Four Christmases is my, like, one of my favorite Christmas movies. And I think I talk about it every year when we do this podcast. I love it so much because the basis of it is a couple that is like, we're not going to mom's house and dad's house and mom's house and dad's house every Christmas. Four houses. We're going to go to four houses every Christmas and deal with all of that because we're not hosters. Yeah. So they go on vacation every year and they lie about why they go on vacation. You know, like the at the beginning of the movie, they're like, we're inoculating like babies in Burma or something. Like, they just say some dumb shit to get away from it because that was the decision that they wanted. They were like, we feel like traveling every year is awesome. And that's why I love that movie. Part of why I love that movie, because it is just saying, I get to make my own decision based on what I want, not what other people want. All this shit was made up. We can make up new shit.
Yes. Yep. 100%. And I think too, is that it's, well, and Christmas, when I was married and with the kids, my oldest would get sick every Christmas because of the amount of places he had to go to in order to be, because his mom's house and his mom's mom, and then my husband's dad's house, my husband's mom's house. It was like, he would get so sick because he'd have to be out in the cold. I mean, it's 40 degrees below zero in fucking Canada. So, you know, and he had asthma. So, you know, he was, and I just was like, no more. I said, we're not going anywhere. If you want to see them, you come to us. Or, you know, or we do a different day. My mother-in-law, God bless her. I always say this. I had the best mother-in-law you could ever have in the entire stratosphere. Like, I miss her a lot. Like, so much my husband, but my ex-husband.
That's understandable.
My mother-in-law, I miss her. Like, yeah. We used to do things. I love her. Anyways, and so she was like, I'll do Christmas because you have the kids and all the things that are happening. I did Thanksgiving meal. She did Christmas. She says, let's do it Christmas Eve so you don't have to go anywhere on Christmas. I was like, oh, thank you. That may not have been their tradition, but she was like, let's make a new one. Like,
do whatever we want based on our life circumstances.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And it was awesome. And one of the things too, is that, you know, about making traditions and doing all the things, it's, I think a part of it is having boundaries. You know what I mean? It's like having those boundaries of saying, I'm sorry. Just because I'm a child doesn't mean there's an expectation that I'm going to do that. My mother, God bless her, she was like, I want to do one more Christmas with everybody. Christmas is her holiday. It is her holiday, like full stop. And she was like, I want to do one more Christmas with everybody together. And my brother, my younger brother and his family were up in New Hampshire. And of course, that's where we're from. So like, she was like, let's all, like, so I had to travel to in the fucking, like the winter, I kid you not.
No. Yeah.
There was more snow in New Hampshire than there ever has been. I swear to God. And it was cold. There was snow. I was like, I moved away for a reason.
100%.
I didn't. And we all did.
I was just thinking about the bone chilling cold that never leaves your bones.
You never get
entire friggin' winter. You never get worn and you never get warm.
Ever, ever. You never get warm. Your fingers and your feet are always frozen.
Yeah.
And when we did this, because we all did it, my younger brother, because he lives in New Hampshire still, my older brother, and my younger brother had traveled with his family. I traveled from Arizona, and like my mother was up from St. Pete, and like we were all there, and I vowed, and I said, Mom, I'm sorry. This is it. One and done. I'm done. I'm not coming back here to do this again in the wintertime. I'm just not. We did this for you because this is what you asked for, and we've done it. And this is the last time I will do it.
Full How good stuff. That must have felt.
I was like, done. And I didn't, it's not like I was upset with doing it, but it was just, and those of you who have had issues being a kid, being in your family, had childhood issues, like it is not fun to go back to the energy and the space with the people that you experience some of the biggest trauma with. It's not fun at all. It's I can handle my family separately. Give me my younger brother, spending time with him. Love to do it. I love his family. Love his wife. His children, amazing. My older brother, super great. Like one-on-one, fine. Get us all together and it's like the fucking child trauma soup.
Aww.
And it's like... Because we all regress to those ages and all regress to those spaces, like visiting my younger brother. I love visiting him, but I don't as often as I'd like to. But like, you know, when we had to take care of our mom, all of us traveled to his house. He and I were fine. We were good until my older brother showed up. And then my younger brother started acting like he did when he was younger. And I was like,
fascinating.
Don't deserve that attitude. Yeah. I don't deserve you making fun of me. I don't deserve that. Like, why? Like, I really, it's super interesting how people emotionally revert to the dynamics of it was growing up.
Yeah.
And those of you with the creepy uncles, I get it. Like, I get it. Like, there is this, just this aversion to going back there. And I just vowed to myself that I never would do it again because I don't want to be in that energy anymore. I don't want to be in that situation. We will have to come together eventually for my mom's passing, but whatever, we can cope with it then. But it's like to have to think about having to do that year after year, time after time. I mean, I'm lucky I moved to the other side of the country, I think to possibly avoid
that. You're like, it's a real big ordeal to get there. So sorry. When I was in Florida, it was like, that's a long trip, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a long trip. It's still a long trip. But yeah, it does help.
And so I don't know. I think it's just about having awareness around what you want, what you need, and working that out. Like, why? What is it that, If you could have any situation in the world for the holidays, what would it be? And why, and then why don't you feel you can have it?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and you know, when you realize like, oh, you know, a great holiday for me would be is to stay home and with my family, or to do Friendsgiving, or to do something that is like, you know, it's more meaningful to me than what are the reasons you're telling yourself you can't have that?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that we all need to like blow Thanksgiving out the water, but I'm saying like, let's have curiosity is of what it is you need and want. You know what I mean? Like, we never really, when we were children, we don't have say in the matter. So we just kind of follow the process. We follow the traditions. We follow the rhythms of the holidays that were given to us. But when it doesn't feel good anymore, we get to change those rhythms. We get to change what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like so committed to that with, I mean, obviously my daughter has to come with me where I go now, but like, and I try to give her a voice, but Thanksgiving, she doesn't have a voice. Although I will say that she loves her Aunt Christine and Uncle Mike. So like, I don't have to fight with her. That the, what she's most worried about is the trip. If the trip could be like really fast, no problems. But you know, that's something that I'm committed to, of being like, I am going to do my own things. And I want her to feel free to do her own things, so that they're not, I don't want obligation. I want choice, right? Like, and if her choice at some point is like, hey, I don't like going to Kentucky for Thanksgiving. You know, that it'll be a challenge for me, of course, because of, you know, you love and you miss your kids, but I don't want that to be obligation. I don't want that to be difficult for her to feel like she can say to me, you know, because I know how difficult it was, or it felt like even just moving, you know, away from my family, how that, like the guilt and all of that kind of stuff that came in. But yeah, like, it's so nice to be able to choose your own, you know, I love Thanksgiving's my favorite also. I'm so excited to go see my sister and do all the things that we do every year at Thanksgiving, you know, like, it's just, you know, it's a tradition that I like to participate in. And so I do participate in it. And, you know, that's just, you know, one of the holidays. There's a lot of holidays I don't participate in anymore because I just don't feel it. And it's fine. You know, I mean, I feel like there's a disruption that happens within us. Sometimes when we're trying to find ourselves and trying to, you know, recreate our lives, that teaches us how to blow this stuff out of the water, that teaches us to really do the thing that I'm saying, like, this was all made up and I don't have to do it that way if I don't want to. Yeah. You know, like, I can choose something different for a different reason, and it's okay. And there will be other people that will join me. Nobody's ever going to be an island in everything, right? Like, we don't have to choose that if that's not what we want to choose. And I think that that's some of the reason why people will choose not to buck the system, or, you know, or to change traditions, is because they don't understand what's on the other side of it. It's fearful. You know, if I don't go see my family, then who will I be with? I'll be lonely, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. But you prep for it. You find your people, you find your whatever, when you look at your reason, when you look at your root, when you look at the purpose that you're trying to serve by changing that tradition. And you find fulfillment in having made that decision for yourself. It's an act of self-care to do these contemplations. It's an act of self-care to decide not to do things on obligation. Yeah. And it's, I mean, I think people get you, or not, maybe some people don't, but I feel very lucky that my family has kind of just gotten used to me. They're kind of like, we'll see when we see, I guess. You know, but it was the long, hard road. Grace knows, because we've been, you know, she supported me through some of it, of, you know, like the disappointments and handling, you know, people not having a good time with my decisions. But it's like, I have to live my life. I have to live my life for me. And I want everybody to live their lives for them, because that's who we answer to, unfortunately, right? Like, we answer to ourselves when we're asking the question, if we are fulfilled, if we feel like we are living life for us, for our own heart and soul. And so, you know, we are really well served to do so.
Yeah.
Holidays are hard. I get it. I mean, it's I mean, it's major because it's everywhere. It's not just like a family tradition. It's a, like here in the United States, a countrywide tradition for the most part. I mean, even, you know, people who come from other countries, who immigrate from other countries, a lot of them will participate in, you know, some of our holidays just because we're all doing it. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, that's not traditional for them, but hey, like, why not? Right? They're making their decision. Thanksgiving sounds great. Let's do it. Right? Like, absolutely. But shifting the narrative around it is harder. So I anticipate, like, when we first were starting to talk about this, I anticipated being on a soapbox a little bit too. Because of, especially with Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, of being the, like, this is why this holiday is here and Jesus is the reason for the season, you know, like all of these, like, hard, fast things. But as we were talking through it, I was just like, I mean, I don't really feel that way anymore. I feel very much like what you were talking about before, of like the lens that people see things through.
Yeah.
Is the lens that people see things through, and like me fighting it isn't that important, right? Like, so if other people are having a harder time letting go of history, I'm sad for it because of what I feel should be acknowledged, but I'm not going to fight about it because it disrupts my inner peace. I may share information. I may get curious about why people are not wanting to shift their narrative, but it doesn't really matter to me, right? Like, in the long run, if you have a belief system that, like, as I'm saying, and I'm like, ugh, if you have a belief system about the pilgrims and the natives, like, I wish for something different, you know, because of the meaning that I have in the demonstration of love to natives, to be able to acknowledge that. But I also do the thing where I say, if you're programmed to believe that that's what happened, but you are a really good person and you do not actually, like, negate the fact that things were different than we've, you know what I mean? Like, if the overarching thought process of yours is still kindness and treating people with reverence and, you know, like, understanding for the most part the plight of people today, then I'm going to let you have it. I'm not going to sit and argue with you and try to make you believe something else, because that's not going to work. Yeah. But also, what matters is today forward, right? Like, arguing about history to me, like, doesn't work. We need to go forward. So it's like, even if I sit down with somebody and they're adamant that, well, this is how the history books wrote it, then, you know, I'm just like, okay, I don't want to fight with you about how the history books wrote it. Like, I actually care about what you think about the bottom of it, right? Like, do you think it's okay for there to be genocide? Like, because that's what I really care about. I don't fucking care about who sat around the goddamn table. Right? Like, I care about what you think about people. Right? Yeah. And so you don't have to fight about that issue. I can just ask different questions to get to know the kind of person that you are, because that's what I'm actually interested in, is the kind of person you are. It's really hard to do. And I've had to practice doing it, of getting off the subject that we're going to fight about. But I have found that most people are arguing semantics because of intelligence, and that they really are not the person that they present themselves to be in that argument. And you're like, hopefully you see that, but yes. If you don't, that's okay. I don't want to waste any moments of my life on this. I want to go forward. Let's move forward with the narratives that we're looking to move forward with. That's, if that did or did not happen, we don't do it today, and there's a reason for it, and we all agree on that.
Is it arguing to be right, or arguing because of a value or a purpose? Is it just to be right? And you know, and I think that that's a very good point in making, is that I also feel it's like we need to focus on what we do in the now that either helps with what happened or understand the effects of what we do now based on information and based on what are our values. Like, if we see that the harm was done, what do we do now to either repair the harm or to not further inflict more harm? And it's action. And because, to be honest, it's I understand the idea of atonement, but and we can do that in the now, but we can't change history. Like, but we can learn it and not repeat it. That's, I think, a big key. And, you know,
which some of this stuff, like when we talk about Thanksgiving, like, it's not likely to happen again. You know what I mean? Like, we have hopefully, right? Like, and I'm crossing my fingers, advanced enough to not do something on that, like that, you know, yeah. Or that we're at least on our way toward, like, what you were talking about. Like, we're understanding that that's not the way. And so we're not going to do things like that. And that's the point. I remember somebody telling me that before. Like, I hated history when I was younger. And it was probably because I knew we were being lied to. But I couldn't stand it. I hated history. And my history teacher said, we learn history because history repeats itself if you don't learn the lesson. And I was like, I will listen because you said that. Right? Like, it was like just enough to be like, all right, it was like a psychology thing, like learn why it happened. And it was like that because I'm interested in that. I'm interested in why something like that would happen so that we just don't do it again. Right. Like, so we're not going to likely land on this land again and take it away again because we already did it. So, right? Like, so that's not the argument we're going to have. We're having human rights going forward conversations.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to get into that because I have many thoughts about that. So I'm going to stop because part of me is like, well, yeah.
Speaking of, here's some ones.
Yeah. Yes.
Here's where we can start.
Like, I have thoughts. I have feelings, but I'm not going to share them because this is not the container for it. But yeah. And if you're a person who you're an older person, you have family who are creating their own families, daughters and sons, how do you help them create their own traditions? By, you don't, like, when they're like, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? You don't go, oh, well, we're going to do this at this time. And that's it. Like, you know, and like having these closed-ended conversations, be open-ended. We were thinking about having it at this time because it works for us. However, you know, if you guys need to do something, or if you're doing, like, have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Don't be rigid in your traditions. And understand is that your children, especially our generation, are really good about not repeating what their parents did. And so we're probably going to want to change up tradition a little bit. It's not an offense to you. It's not an offense to your family and how it's always been. Your comfort is in your tradition. And I get that. And I understand. And you're allowed to have those traditions. But give that privilege to your children and giving them the ability and the option to create their own, especially if they have young children. They're already stressed out enough about having children and coping with it in the holidays and how that works. And then having them home for weeks on end and being like, what do I do with children? I have to work still, you know, all of that. Like, give them the grace and the understanding that you maybe have not been afforded in your own life. Express what your desires are so that your needs and your understanding of what you hope will happen are known, but give them the space to talk about their own and either come to an agreement or come to the understanding that, okay, so you're going to have a new tradition and we're going to keep ours. And that's the way it's going to be. And that's okay too, but give them the space and the equity in order to be able to have the conversation of something they want to do it. And, you know, and to be honest with you, for those of you who have children or family, especially young kids or adults, I think everybody's a kid because I think I'm the only adult, but like, if they're like, I don't want to come home for Christmas, or I want to go with my friends, or I want to be at my friend's house, please do not take that personally. And if they have issues, they should be able to talk to you about it, but give them the freedom to experience life in the way that they make the decision.
We don't want our children. Yeah.
It's up to them. Don't bully them and make them feel guilty if they don't show up, especially if they have issues. Maybe they have a creep. You have a creepy uncle. You know, what if there's, you know, my thing with my family gathering, like especially my mother, was like, I don't want to talk about my body. I don't want to talk about my weight. I don't want to talk about my job and how unsuccessful or successful I am. I don't want to be compared to my brothers. I have no desire to be in that environment because I feel worse for having been in that environment. And you don't want your children to feel worse.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of awareness and a lot of big heart to understand those things without kind of going into your own space of guilt. But talk it. The best thing you can do is to communicate. Allow them to have a voice. Doesn't mean that they need to change what you do, but allow them to express what they need. And maybe a compromise is able and maybe it's not. But it's just as important for you to have the space of being heard as them to be having a space of being heard.
Agreed.
You know, you want them to create a life because the reality of it, and let's you're not going to be here forever. They're going to be here a lot longer than you. And what happens when the only tradition they ever had was going to your house? And it's not a bad thing, but if they want to explore creating their own, it helps them with the grief that they're going to experience when you leave this earth.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that doing that is wrong or not doing that is wrong. It's just to say, if they're looking to change it because they need to create something that's true to them, allow it.
Mm-hmm.
Or talk about it, at least. Share your feelings.
Yeah.
In a really kind way.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody owns anybody. We're definitely trained to believe that there's lots of ownership that doesn't exist and that there's meaning behind that ownership.
Yeah.
And like it really does serve us better not to do that, you know, and to be adjustable and to be able to shift and to take the meanings out of that and allow different meanings to be there. Because again, it is all made up. So we can shift any narrative and any belief system that we want to, that or that doesn't fit or that suddenly doesn't feel the same, you know.
I will be forever grateful to my mother-in-law, Helen Hedman. If any of you know her, she's an amazing human. And I will be forever grateful for her being excited at exploring new traditions to aid me in coping with the holidays and to feel good about it. But to understand that it brought us together and it gave us more time together in that process, in creating new traditions, it actually brought us closer because she was a part of it and she helped. And that's, I will always have gratitude in my heart for her, always. But friends, we love you. Holidays can be complicated for some of us. We get it. We really, really get it. But it's okay to shift it. It's okay to even think about it. If you can't do it this year because you're emotionally taxed out, just think about it. Yeah. Be curious about what would that look like. And then next year, you can try to do it.
You have a whole 365 to get you ready.
Yep. Just be curious about what it is you need and want for the holidays.
Yeah.
And understanding your cycles and understanding what you need. And maybe you need less stress, less pressure. How do you do that? How does that happen? And then we haven't, like Vanessa says, an entire year to sort that out. But we hope, regardless of what you do and what you celebrate, that you feel joy, love, and gratitude at this time of the year and all year long. We love you. We have immense gratitude for you because you are why we continue this journey and continue on doing what we do. You will be listening to this, or this will be live the day before Thanksgiving. But we are going live on Facebook December 1st to do some holiday cheer, maybe little meetings, check-in. So please join us December 1st. God only knows, I may get a graphic out. Vanessa may. One of us will somehow. Yeah. We're not great at advertising it, we know.
We'll have one.
So, but we're here if you need us. You're part of our family. We celebrate your traditions and we celebrate what it is you need in this holiday season. And if you need help or need one of us, you know where to find us. We love you. Have a happy, happy. Yeah. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yay, love y'all.
If you were triggered by anything said in this podcast, please dial 911 or go to your local emergency room.
To more deeply understand your unique emotional reaction to today's podcast, I'd love for you to connect with me. You can find me at VanessaPerryCounselor@gmail.com or at www.vanessaperry.net.
And if you wish to take your healing further through energy work or channeling angels or the highest level beings, please reach out to me, Grace, at graceevergreen.com or graceevergreen@outlook.com.
And always remember, you are loved,
you are worthy,
and the world needs your light.